Let's lift our hands toward heaven. Father, we thank you tonight for your holy written word. With reverence, we come before you and we receive your anointing. I pray an anointing that a door of the word would come out here, that there'd be a great door for effective service, that the gospel, the message of Jesus and its truths would go deep into our hearts and would change our ways. Teach us your ways, O Lord. Lead us into your paths. Make them plain, make them clear. You said, call upon me and I will answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things which you know not. I pray a spirit of wisdom and revelation would come in here, that people would be blessed and would be fed and would be nurtured on the word of God, and there'd be great encouragement. I pray for each one of our hearts, Lord, that we'd be receptive and prepared to receive the word you have for us by your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, you'd get a hold of my mouth and speak through me oracles beyond my human ability. And I pray you help us to have a hearing of faith and to be so led by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. I met my wife at church in an atmosphere like this, and I fell in love with her. And I was so consumed with that lady that I wanted to marry her and spend the rest of my life with her. I had a drive for her, and I wanted her. I asked her to marry me. She said yes. I was so excited. We got married. And then we went off to Bible school. And I want to tell you that after a while, we had 1, 2, 3, 4 kids. We started out fresh. We moved out of town and we got to nurture our relationship. And we were very focused on each other. We did everything together. We had no other responsibilities. And so we sowed a lot into each other's lives. Then, as responsibilities heaped up, workloads, responsibilities, busyness, other issues, our relationship, like they all do, transitioned from that courtship fire to a companionship that still had a great fervency and still had a great tone, but was different. And it started where it started out exclusive and very fiery, it became, we had a lot of things pulling on us and have a lot of things pulling on us. And so now what was automatic with our connectedness and togetherness is now acquired and deliberately worked on. How many of you know what I'm talking about if you're in a relationship, marriage? Well, so too with the walk with the Lord. When you come to Jesus and you get saved, you are struck with the realization that you were so lost and so separated from God, and that you came in contact with the living God and you found out He is so good and so worthy and so wonderful that all you wanted to do is read the Bible, pray, tell other people about it, and just stay in fellowship. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And then after a period of time, either through just going through the motions or getting conditioned, sometimes we could ebb away from our first love, and then what was automatic must now be a deliberate maintenance of commitment and reconnectedness with God. It's not a statement that we love Him less, just like it's not a statement that I love my wife less. It's just a statement that as we've matured and grown and moved on in life, that there are certain additives and elements that we need to deal with and adjust to through the course of our lives. It's idealistic and wrong to try to live in the glory years of the past and compare yourself with those initiating years and think, why aren't they like that anymore? Things progress and things evolve and things change. Yet what we do need to do is deliberately set ourselves to seek the Lord. And deliberately press in to know Him and to get over into the secret place. Now, I want to turn to some verses and I want to show you something because there are benefits to the secret place. How many of you related to what I just said right there? We need to return to our first love. We need to develop and cultivate and maintain genuine, sincere passion for the Lord and stay with this thing. But first, I want to go to Psalm 91. And I want to just dive into this because the first opening verse is the central part of what I want to get over to you. And I want to tell you that there is a place that God invites us into that we could go in and we could reconnect with Him and get on fire. How many of you had some days where you were just cooking for God? Let me see your hands. You were cooking for God. How many of you had days where you were cold as a hound dog's nose? Okay, so then you know. I mean, I've found times, there's a commercial where a man looked over at his wife and said, you remember when we used to date? What happened? And then he showed all his kids screaming and bottles and running to the store and chauffeuring, you know. Start out in a marriage, your marriage is this love affair, and then it becomes chauffeuring, soccer games, homework, reinforcement, discipline, eternal permanent discipline. And you know, it's hard to just have these lovey-dovey things when you're going, and the kids, and they go, come here, honey. And we've got to be careful in our walk with the Lord. We owe it to our generation, Christians. We owe it to our world to be authentic, genuine, the real thing. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to walk on fire. Because see, the fire is not to be put under a bushel basket, but it's to be put on a lampstand. So God's called us to cultivate and maintain authentic connectedness with God and stay on fire. Are you listening to me? It should be that way with our relationships, with our friendships, with our marriages, with our walk with God. Now, I want to tell you something about Psalm 91, and then I want to just show you some benefits of the secret place. I wanted to lay that out sort of like an introduction, just to provoke your thinking, to call you into greater and more exclusive places of devotion with God, seizing those times. Psalm 91, verse 1, King James, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, here are some other translations. "Whoso dwelleth under the defense of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Another translation says, "under the protection of the Most High." Another translation says, "the secret shelter of the Most High." Now, there's something about this. God's called us to cultivate connectedness with the Father, to press on in with Him, that there is a secret place that He's inviting all of us into, that we could step on over in and have times of interaction with God that will build us up, will replenish us, will bring us into strength. You know, Jesus is our life. We don't get our life from any other place. We are believers in Jesus, and He is our life. Nothing else is going to satisfy us. We're not going to derive it from in the same place as the world does. The world's trying to derive it from all kinds of stuff. That's why there's all this movement of extreme sports, where people are bungee jumping off each other's houses onto the concrete and all kinds of stuff, figuring out new things to do just to have fun. But I'm telling you, we are called to draw our life from Him. Remember over in John chapter 15? He said that we should abide in Him. He's the vine and we're the branches and we need to abide in Him. It says if we abide in Him and His word abides in us, we can ask anything we will and it'll be done for us by our Father who's in heaven. The issue is abiding in Him in the secret place. There are benefits to abiding, to getting back to intimacy, connection, and the whole reason we got in this thing in the first place. We didn't get in this thing in the first place to gradually, over a period of time, like a frog in a frying pan, become religious traditionalists that just barely get along and are kind of mean, but we're saved. You know, God sees in secret. The Bible says He sees in secret. He sees our hearts. I mean, I get to the Lord, and I'll get in a real special moment in prayer, and I'll start talking to God, and I'll start doing this sort of, well, and Lord, and I'll start doing, and I'll go, wait, You know all this already. You know what I'm really, and You even know my motives, and I don't. So I said, I think I mean this, but maybe I mean the other. So I need Your help. I mean, I want to walk with God. How about you? I want to provide something to this world where they look and they say, that's a flawed human being, but he's been with Jesus. You know, I want the testimony to be, man, they've been with Jesus. It's like they said about the disciples. They said, you know, they're unlearned men, but I could tell they've been with Jesus. That's like the slave woman at the fire during the time of Jesus' crucifixion said, weren't you one of them? She could sense a Galilean accent. And I want to walk in a way where I'm flavored and scented and accented with the authentic presence from the secret place. Just like when you get around a campfire of some really sweet smelling hickory smoke, and then you walk away and your coat and your skin and your hair is permeated with the fragrance of the fire. I want to be on fire to where I'm a fragrant aroma wherever I go, where people go, and they say, you know, yeah. And they look at you and they go, man, you're not just a traditionalist. You're not just some guy going in and out or some lady that's just a churchy person. You are filled with God. And that's the quality that's available when you go into the secret place. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, when you're in the secret place, then when you go out where it's in the elements and the sun is there and you're out there, you'll abide under His shadow. He knows when you go and abide with him and you're intimate with him, then when you walk out, there's such an identification with him that his presence is more manifest in and through your life. And that is available to us if we'll just spend a little bit more time in the secret place. Just a little bit more time. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to show you what Jesus said as a pattern of a lifestyle. And then I want to go back to this Psalm 91, but I want to go to Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at verse 5 and 6. When you pray, doesn't say if you pray, it says when you pray. You know, God's called you to a life of prayer. Prayer is the primary purpose on your life. Prayer is more important than you realize. Your prayers make a difference. When you feel like your life is a failure and you're not really mounting to much, you don't have a job to do in the church right now, or you don't have a job to do down there, you're not leading a Bible study, you're not doing, pray. Pray, because after all, you could pray and maybe change a nation or two. Pray. Don't sit around wondering, twiddling your thumbs, wondering what you're supposed to do. Get in there and pray. Don't think about praying and act like you're getting ready to pray. 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 And he says, when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Now, you could pray on the street corner and you could pray out in public, but just don't do it to be seen by people. You should be praying without ceasing. But you don't do it to be noticed. Like, dear Heavenly Father, you know, I mean, don't do that. You know, that's what they were doing. They were going and getting attention. Dear God, you know, they were doing a deal to get attention. We can hardly relate to that, but that's what they were doing at this time. But it says, don't do that. Don't be this way. It says, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. In other words, the reward is just being noticed by men. Look, I want to tell you something. As an individual, as a church, as a movement, I don't want our credit just to be superficial, momentary, pleasing of men. I want to please God. And it says, but you, when you pray, look at verse 6, go into your inner room or into the secret place, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and the Father who sees in secret will repay you or reward you openly. Every one of us needs to develop a lifestyle of treading toward a secret place, a closet, or a hidden place. I want to tell you, before you could be outed as a dynamic Christian, come out from among them and be separate, before you could be outed, you have to be a closet person. The greatest anointing, the greatest benefits are in the secret place. He's inviting us into the secret place, and he's making a substantial point here. He's saying, look, don't be superficial. Don't try to do things to be noticed by men. It's so tempting in our world right now to try to do things for outward recognition, but we must not go there. It's hypocritical. God's called us to something higher than just trying to win over people's approval and attention. God told me years ago, the greatest thing I do in my life is I won't know about till I get to heaven. So in other words, any good thing that happens is great, praise the Lord, except that there are things God retains that he holds dear to him, that he doesn't want to divulge. He wants to hold it so that when you walk into heaven, and some of us may be walking and wonder if we did okay, and he goes, you know what? You did this, and it had a ripple effect that caused this to happen, and I just tell you, I appreciate it. Whew, I'm looking forward to that kind of stuff. And it's all obtained in the secret place. In fact, look at this revelation. The Father that sees in secret will reward you openly. In other words, what you do in the secret place is what is rewardable when you step out. What you do in the secret place. Now, in other words, if I don't do anything, if you don't do anything in the secret place during your private secret time, and you just waste your time, then when you get out there, there's not a whole lot that can be rewarded. But if you'll seize the moments to just meditate on him, and to just kind of like the old saints did around Finney's era or around Wigglesworth's era before television, where they just would turn it up a little bit and just spend a little more time with God, just meditating, not being overly fanatical or religious. There were very few entertaining issues going on in the days just not very long ago to vie for people's attention. There wasn't so much leisure time. There was work and there was sleep and there was a little bit of time in between, and it was done with family time and with Bible reading. And we in modern times have to be aware of the strategies of the devil, and we've got to learn to fend off things that would try to keep us out of the secret place. Because I want to just say this to you. There are greater rewards and greater manifestations of God available to people, even busy people, even people that work 60 hours a week and have two jobs and eight kids. I'm not talking about I got to pray 8 hours a day or 3 hours a day or 1 hour a day. I'm talking about just being in the secret place, quality, spending time in faith-filled interaction with God so that when you walk out of there, when you abide in the secret place, then you'll also abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You'll feel His covering, His anointing, His blessing. You'll sense the power surge of authentic anointing on you. You go, oh, I got it in the secret place. See, a lot of us want to increase the anointing in our lives, so we want to have somebody come and slap us on the head and pray. And indeed, there is an impartation and a deposit that we must appreciate and acknowledge. However, he that dwells in the secret place can walk in a consuming anointing of power and blessing, and the manifestations of God's reward will be so increased that it'll be undeniable. So it says, the Father that sees in secret will reward you openly. Prayerlessness is not good. Avoiding the secret place is not characteristic of who we really are. Just like me not dating or being intimate with my wife, but just going through the motions of being chauffeurs and referees and bill payers and planners, that's not the way marriage is structured to be. And so we've got to work through all that. We still have to do that stuff, but we've got to make a decision to have secret place, intimate connection of communication and of fellowship in an environment where we're not dealing with all kinds of stuff, but we're focusing on each other. And with God, instead of going, I'm a Christian, so I do all kinds of stuff for God, we need to go, God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Nothing can substitute, no amount of works and no amount of fruitfulness and no amount of social change and no amount of activity can substitute for the intimate connection we are called to have with God. I mean, during the worship time, we need to say, look, let's not just have a worship segment of a service, let's worship God. Let's not just read the Bible. I read 4 chapters today, praise God. No, let's go and fellowship and feed off the Word. I'll never forget a book I saw by Gordon Lindsay where he had a fork, knife, and spoon and a placemat and an open Bible with a glass of milk there. And I thought, man, what a way to talk about the Bible is our nourishment. It's our food. I was reading the Bible today and I was just looking at it and I decided instead of going, I decided to go, and just open it up and let it wash me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I've been with my wife where we're going, you can't stop right there. Okay, now we got 10 minutes. Get your stuff, get your shoes, tennis shoes, get your baseball. Bye. And then I've had times where I go, hello. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I've been in praise and worship where I've come in. God, I love you, God. Okay, and then I sit down. Or you just press through all your carnality and distraction. And then you get in His presence. You get that button. Ding! And oh, I long for that connection with God. I don't like surface stuff. I didn't get saved to be a superficial fella. Neither did you. You did not get saved to avoid the secret place and avoid intimacy with God and just learn some principles outside of the fire. God's called us to jump into the fire and have a spirit of burning in us and be fellowshipping with God where we know Him. Now, I want to show you something and we'll try to get back to Psalm 91. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Now, I want to show you some verses that are really super powerful. Mark 1:35. Mark 1:35, and then when you get there, go to Mark 6:47, 46 and 47. And I want to show you some of the secret place life of the Master to show you and to illustrate and underscore why He was successful. How many of you think Jesus was successful? Do you think that there were certain things that He walked in that created success through His life and ministry? Here's what it was. Jesus, you can find it in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in fact, it's all over the Bible, but I'll show you some of these verses. Look at this. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, He arose and went out and departed to a lonely place. Everybody say arose, went out, departed, lonely place. You know, that took some action. He didn't just arise and then hang out by the TV or the phone or the coffee pot. He arose and went out and departed See, he arose. I prayed. You ever pray in bed? I know David said in the night watches, and I lay in bed and I pray and stuff. Well, I tried that. I go like this, God. I like Jerry Seville. He made the secret place his bathtub, and he straddled the edges of his porcelain bathtub so that if he started to nod off, it would hurt. But look what it says here. He arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. He was praying there. He was in the secret place. He went to a lonely spot. You got to find a lonely place. Does anybody have a lonely place you use to pray? We've got to do this because we're going to get the results. Look what it says here. And he was praying there. Now look at Mark 6:46. Now he had done a great deal of ministry, and this was an evening. This was morning time, and then here's evening. And after bidding them farewell, he departed to the mountain to pray. I heard a guy say, the first person I talk to is God. He said, I find that if I squander my early moments of interacting with other people, that by the time I do turn to the Lord, the initial blessing has dissipated somewhat. I found that when you put first things first and get your priorities in line concerning the secret place, you get greater reward outwardly. How many of you can remember times in your Christian life where you saw unusual manifestations in your life? You saw greater levels of God's Spirit and presence in your life. Traceable to the secret place. I'm not talking about, I prayed 8 hours a day and the Lord used me greater. Because then that becomes a funky deal where it's in our hands and we're going, I'm a big person of prayer. Follow that? That's not even right. It's like, I don't have faith in prayer. I have faith in God. That's why I pray. I'm not like, I'm such a great man of prayer. Hallelujah. No, I'm desperate. In fact, the reason you pray is because you go, oh my goodness, I need God. Anybody that's a true great prayer person is just somebody that's going, I flat out need God's help. How many of you fit that category? Okay, so then we got to hit the secret place. I believe if we get the secret place, we'll be rewarded openly. I believe you turn around and you'll run into people. I got a call from a high school buddy the other day who wants to get together with me. I got a call from another guy who backslid years ago, and his new wife told me that he needs spiritual help. Called out of the blue. I've been praying for backsliders. I've been praying for my old high school buddies. Now they're calling me, wanting me to minister to them. Yeah! Maybe that comes from 20 years ago, laying on the floor, praying over yearbooks of the school and praying for them. Going to the reunions and going to them and just praying under my breath while they're drunk and ripped and, you know, talking about the third marriage and stuff. And I'm believing God for them to come in. And so I go to the secret place and I pray. And then God does stuff outwardly. Okay. And after bidding them farewell, he departed to the mountain to pray. And when it was evening, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. There's something about getting alone. Wives, husbands, kids, we all need to have solitude. We all need to have secret time where we get to chill out for a little while, and we should not squander it on TV or other stuff. We should seize the moment to have a season of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. What happens in the presence of the Lord? There is fullness of joy. A lot of people are depressed. The cure is the secret place. You get in the secret place and you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, you're going to have some tremendous conditioning where you're going to have the joy of the Lord get on the inside of you and crowd out your worries. Crowd out your anxieties. If it's physical, he'll bring healing into your body. If it's nervousness and fear, he'll bring peace to you and start to answer you by his word. I mean, it's in the secret place. If we're closet Christians and we're living a secret life to the degree that we do as individuals, as a church, as a people, as a city, that's the degree that we'll see monumental outpourings of the anointing coming into the body of Christ. I can't see it any other way. Listen to Luke chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Go ahead and turn there. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. We've seen the morning time, the evening. Here's solitary communion. Look at Luke 5, 15. It says, but the news about him was spreading even farther, and great multitudes were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But look what he did. Instead of going, let me set up my big ministry, he would himself often slip away to the wilderness and pray right in the middle of the deal. Why did he do that? Because he knew he had to get in the secret place in order to have something substantial to help the people with. And when you start to see God escalate you in your life, you need to go, oh, and run into the secret place and get on your face, and to the degree that you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt everyone in this room, everyone that hears my voice. Listen, promotion does not come from man. It doesn't come from the east or the west. It comes from God. And when you go into the secret place, the Father that sees you in secret will reward you openly. And that's the best kind of exaltation when it comes from heaven. Because He'll give you the grace, He'll get all the glory, and it won't be a head trip for you, and you'll be able to flow within the flow of it and make a big difference in the lives of many people, which is, after all, our vital calling. So look what it says here. He Himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. How many of you know that we are not above our Master? If Jesus had to often slip away and pray, how much more do we? I know when I went to Bible school, I learned so much in terms of the life of prayer. I thought, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Bible school. We're going to work. I worked 40 hours a week, 1 to 10 or 10 to 6 in the morning at a store. Patsy worked. Went to school from 8 in the morning till 12. So we were busy. But we decided we'll go out and pass out tracts on Saturday night, and we'll have a prayer meeting on Monday night. So the prayer meeting was this. We'd go into the prayer meeting, and I'd say, okay, everybody, we're going to pray now for 15 minutes. So we'd pray for 15 minutes, and then we'd be done. So next week, 30 minutes. And we built up to 4 hours. I mean, you should have seen how worn out everybody was. I mean, they would look like they're going to keel over. But we did it. Because we just wanted to get with God and seek the Lord while He may be found and find that substantial help. I've tried it without prayer. It ain't happening. You understand what I mean? I've tried it with prayer. It is happening. Because I'm talking about how I need God. I've seen marital relationships where they just get in a professional thing and they're just in this mode of busyness and they get more and more distant from each other. They stop knowing who each other is. Could affect your relationship with each other. You got to turn to each other and look at each other's face and get with each other and go, yep, and get a little closer. I want to do that with God. He would often slip away. He'd be in the middle of all these miracles and He would just kind of slip away. When Judas came to betray Jesus, he knew where he'd find Him. He'd find Him in the secret place praying. He said, oh, wait, I know where He is. And he waded on through there, through all the fire and all the people laughing and talking, and he found Jesus off to the side. Want to be effective? Slip away. Want to be effective? Want to have a greater manifestation of God on your life? Do you want to? Yes. Do you really want to? Yes. Do you want to walk into a shopping mall and have one incident after another happen where you can't remember why you went there, but after 2 or 3 hours you got to minister to 4 or 5 people and they came to Jesus? Where the person at the counter when you're going to buy your groceries just starts pouring out their life to you and they don't know why and you don't know why? Get in the secret place and just watch what God does. I better hustle. Luke 6:12, since you're in just one chapter over, Luke 6:12, this is an all-night thing. I think we need to have more all-nighters here at church. We did some all-nighters. I remember a guy prayed. He had some unforgiveness toward his brother-in-law. And he stayed here and he prayed and he just stood there. He didn't think he'd be able to make it an hour. He stood there and he spent an all-night in prayer. And it changed his attitude toward his brother-in-law, and his whole family got turned around. And he attributed it to a one-night, all-night prayer time. Glory. And here's what it says. It says, and it was at this time, verse 12, that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And you know what happened after that? Then he went and picked his disciples. One time he prayed all night on the mountain. And the next morning, he walked out onto the shore and he kept going and walked on water. You get in the secret place, stuff be happening the following day. Ha! Praying, 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 and then you walk out on the shore. And then you're walking on the water. You go out and pray, and then you come back and go, you and you and you and you, and you pick 12 disciples. You know, we wonder about decision making. We wonder about walking above our circumstances. We wonder about getting breakthrough. We wonder about effectiveness. It's to the degree that we go into the secret place. Now, if this convicts you, that's good, because it's convicting me. Because the devil wants to sabotage what I'm preaching to you. And I'm not up here pretending that I'm just perfected in this area. I am struggling with the same tug of war you are. There are strong external forces that hate what I'm preaching to you right now. They hate it because they know that when they saw Jesus go into the secret place and then they watched him come out, and when they saw Paul the Apostle or Timothy or Epaphroditus or these others go into the secret place, Mary and these other people go in the secret place and they come back out, when they saw Jesus go into the wilderness, he returned in the power of the Spirit. The secret place is like a wilderness. There's nothing fun about it. There's no video game in there. There's no refrigerator in there. There's no Cheetos in there. There's no giddy fellowship talking in there. There's no superficial blabbity blab. It's just deep, heart-rending. At times, we're addressing our own frailties and failures, and we're walking through our own stuff. We're having to admit stuff we need to change. But you get in there, and you get things rectified and resolved. And when you come back out, you're more anointable. How many of you want to live anointable? I'm just saying this on behalf of people like me 26 years ago. There is a breed of people that we are mingling with every day that have just prayed, God, if you're really there, show me. And we are the ones that God has anointed. Now, I'm not imposing or projecting an evangelistic call on your life, because you don't need one projected or imposed on you, because we're all called to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not my personality, Pastor. You know what? It doesn't matter what your personality is. What matters is that you hang out with the personality of God, and His personality of great care for the world will get on you and override your timidity and override your fear and override your nervousness and make you an effective soul winner. Personality traits rub off. And if you get in the secret place, you will get the secret place master personality traits on you. And you'll walk around with a divine nature manifest on you in a higher degree. John Osteen was in prayer one time. The phone rang and the devil said, that's the President of the United States. He said, the President of the United States is going to have to wait. I'm fellowshipping with God right now. I heard another guy say this. He said, if people interrupt your prayer time, you could say, excuse me, I'm in an appointment. I won't be able to come to you right now. Are you lying? No, you're having an appointment with God. Since when does God deserve? Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and then somebody else comes up and you drop them and you go, that God happens to God all the time. How does God feel about it? The same way you and I would? Or to fellowship with God? Never mind, I'm done. You know? I want to abide in Him and have His Word abide in me. I want my lamp filled with oil. I don't want to be running on vapors and then faking myself out. I want to get in the secret place and walk in His Spirit and get some of the benefits of being in the secret place. Psalm 91, when you're in His presence, there is great divine protection. Psalm 91, verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. You are my sheltering haven, my God, whom I trust. Listen to the rest of this. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. He it is who will rescue you from every treacherous lure. Did you hear that? He will safeguard you from the deadly pestilence. Certainly it is He who rescues you from the hunter's trap. I remember when I was a Boy Scout, they taught us how to make a wire snare for rabbits and how you could snare a rabbit or a bird. And they showed how it's just real delicate and it's deceptive. And the animal, you find out where their trail is, where their daily routine is, and then you sneak up when they're not around and you sneak a snare in there. So then when they run in there, they get snared by it because they're oblivious to it. God will make you clear if you'll abide in the secret place. And one of the benefits is clarity and sensitivity to the snares and wiles of the enemy. Instead of going, you got these, what are those, punji sticks or whatever? Just, no, you walk and God goes, hey, and you get sensitivity. How many of you want to be sensitive to God? Well, that'll happen when you abide in the secret place. He'll deliver you from the noisome pestilence. You ever have any noisome pestilence attack you? Noisome pestilence. That's, you can call you, well, you shouldn't call your teenager that. But, and from the deadly pestilence, the destructive pestilence, the deadly epidemic, He'll keep you safe from the wasting disease. He'll keep you safe. I've been in countries where they had Ebola breakout right around the corner. where malaria signs were so everywhere, and people were telling me horror stories. I was with a man last year who had such bad malaria, he almost died. He was in a coma. And he was telling how you get it by being bit by a mosquito, which I had just had happen to me a few hours before. I've been in these kinds of situations, and I think, He will deliver me from every wasting disease. Remember that bacteria that was eating, the flesh-eating bacteria that was spreading everywhere? And you hear stories about how the antibiotics don't work. Guess what? Psalm 91 works. You get in the secret place, you get a gigantic honking vaccination from heaven. And then it says here, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall trust. Listen to this translation. He will safeguard you with His strength, and you will find shelter within His protecting power. Wow, that's one of the benefits of the secret place. It says, and His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. His faithful promises are your armor, it says in the Living Bible. His fidelity is your assurance of security. How many of you have ever dealt with insecurity? How many of you have ever felt vulnerable? How many of you have ever felt like, man, I need some of that? Get in the secret place. I've got God from the secret place saying, look, if I'm for you, who could be against you? And I'm getting revelation, you guys, where I was really intimidated, easily upset by certain things. I'm not getting that way anymore because I'm getting in the secret place and I'm seeing He delivers me. He's faithful. And even if things seem like they're all falling apart, you know that He's there to deliver you. Even if it doesn't look like it right now, we are walking by faith, not by sight. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Question, how many of you ever in here at night got ready to cozy up on the pillow, the blanket was over, light was off, teeth were dental flossed, and you're laying there, and you're cozy, and you just read a psalm, and you lay there, your Mickey Mouse nightlight is on, everything's cozy, you got your hat on, you're laying there, and all of a sudden, ching, the terror by night does a whammy on your head. And you start thinking about all kinds of stuff that you should have done, could have done, would have done, wish you did, should have done. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You get in a fellowship in the secret place of the Most High, and He'll address that weird stuff, that terror by night. He says, you'll not be afraid. When you get in the secret place, you'll not be afraid of the terror or the dread by night. Or, it says, you will not need to be afraid of any nocturnal terror, nor of any danger that is abroad in daylight. You don't need to be afraid because you're walking in the secret place under the shadow of the Most High, and you're walking in such fellowship. See, a lot of people understand that God's our protector, but when you get in the secret place, it will cause the alarm to stop ringing in you, and you'll be able to walk in a mode of rest, and that's part of how you'll have longer life because you won't be tearing your body up freaked out all the time. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. It says here, the calamity that spreads havoc at noon. Man, we're protected. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. The plague will never reach you, Moffat's translation said. The plague, say this with me, the plague will never reach me. When I was in Bible school, an apartment complex burned down. And the entire thing burned to the ground except one corner and one apartment. And all it had was a little bit of smoke damage. And the front page of the Tulsa Tribune said, God delivered me from this fire. And the whole testimony was how the Lord showed him which apartment to pick. He got in this apartment. The fire completely bypassed him. And he's just praising Jesus. Psalm 91, the plague will never reach you. You yourself will remain unscathed. I remember the book Terror at Tenerife by George Otis Jr., where a man was on a plane in the Canary Islands. A KLM plane landed on the top of the plane on the black box. The pilot's last words were curses to God. Two last words. And then on the other hand, this Christian was in this plane. It had been hit and it had a gaping hole in the fuselage. This was a man that was big and overweight, out of shape. And he got up saying, Father, in Jesus' name, I stand on your word. And he got out in the aisle. He said, Father, in Jesus' name, I stand on your word. And as he walked down the aisle, he looked up and saw a white flaming piece of metal coming at him. And instinctively, he put his arm up to deflect it. And then he realized later that that thing would have knocked him down and burned him up. And that his arm wasn't strong enough, it was just a natural reflex. But he kept saying, Father, in Jesus' name, I stand on your word. And the thing fell off and he was okay. Yeah. Then he got under the hole and he looked at it, and it was way up in a 747. And he looked up there and it was all jagged. And he said, "Father, in Jesus' name, I stand on your word." And he jumped and he grabbed the edges and pulled himself out. And he got up on the top of the plane. And he realized later it was a miracle he could drag his body up through that hole. He said, "Well, that was adrenaline." Well, praise God. Where do you think adrenaline came from? God gave him a beefed up deal of adrenaline. I'm giving the glory to God, though. But anyway, so he got up on the plane. Then he walked out on the wing. And he got on the edge of the wing saying, "Father, in Jesus' name, I stand on your word." And he got to the edge of the wing. And he stood there and he watched people jump off, because the way the plane was tilted, they would fall to their death. And so he stands there and he says, "Father, in Jesus' name, I stand on your word." He jumped off. He landed on his feet. Didn't fall over. It cracked his ankle with a little fracture. And he kind of limped out into the field and stood out in the middle of the field, saved by what I'm sharing with you, by the benefit of the secret place, by that place of abiding in God and drawing your understanding and clarifying what he wants to do. He wants to protect us over and over again. It says this in his word. Now listen to this. He said, "Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked." Now, let me finish with these verses. Now, I've only got a few more. You mind if we go to verse 16? I mean, this is good stuff, and then we'll be done. "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." Listen to what it says in this translation. "Because you have made the Lord your shelter." Who in here has made the Lord your secret place? He's your shelter. He's the one you trust. When I go to the doctor, and I have, I don't put my trust in the doctor. I don't put my trust in the medicine he prescribes. I put my trust in God. And in fact, I have a Christian doctor who loves Jesus, and we pray together. Amen. And then we believe God. God's word is life to all our flesh. Yes. So I go to the doctor. Praise God for doctors. But when I go into that context, I say, "Lord, you're the one I trust. I'm just trying to do some good bodily maintenance, just like I take my car to get the oil redone." Yes. All right, listen up. It says, "He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." They'll protect you wherever you go. I don't have time to talk about angels, but every one of us in here has been benefited by angels. They're ministering spirits sent to minister to those who are inheriting salvation. He's given his angels charge over us, that even if we dashed our foot against a stone. And then it says, then verse 13, "You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall you trample under feet." Verse 14, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him." How many of you set your love upon God? Every morning, every noon and night, let's set our love upon God in the secret place and then watch him manifest his protection and his help all through the rest of our lives. It says, "I will deliver him. He has anchored his love in me. He clings to me. Therefore, I will rescue him. I will set him on high because he has known my name." What's that name? Jesus. The name above every name. Because we know his name and the power of his name, he says, "I will protect him and lift him beyond danger. The one that acknowledges my name, I shall protect." Verse 15. These are benefits of the secret place. "He shall call upon me and I will answer him." That's a good benefit of the secret place. Have you ever prayed and God spoke to you? You ever gotten in prayerlessness and then you didn't get any direction? "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. In affliction, I am at his side to bring him safely through and into honor. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I will satisfy him with long life. I'll let him see my saving grace. I shall let him participate in my salvation." Ho, ho, ho. When you become a secret place dweller, he will let you participate in his salvation. You become a participant, not just an observer, not just a spectator. Are you hearing me? Now listen, you get alone with God tomorrow morning. Spend extra time. Get away. Get alone. Turn off the phone. You are not required henceforth, hereafter, forever, to jump every time the phone rings. You lock yourself into a situation where you could spend some moments in prayer and worshiping God and thanking God, and then you just watch His increased levels of protection on your life, His increased levels of anointing where He starts answering you with greater clarity. When I say to people making decisions on the staff, I say, now, we need to pray about it. I've been praying about it for 2 weeks. I had so-and-so pray about it. We've been covering it in prayer. We've been praying about it every day. Oh, I love that. Because that increases the potential in the secret place for us to walk through in greater accuracy. The benefits of the secret place, His presence, and fullness of joy. Number two, you absorb His personality traits. How many of you know bad company corrupts good morals? How many of you know good company improves good morals? How many of you know that in the secret place you're going to get good company? Number three, divine protection. When you hang out with God, He becomes your bodyguard, your security. He is your defense. He's your protection. He's your security, and He watches over you. Proverbs 3 says He encompasses you with favor as with a shield. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people. Right? Ephesians 6 says, put on the whole armor of God. When do you do that? Where do you get dressed? In your closet. You go to the closet, you get dressed, right? You go into the secret place and in the closet and you put on the armor and you get fortified by the power of God. Amen. Encompassed, protected, fortified. What else happens? You get rewarded. The Father who sees in secret, what does He do? If you don't stay in the secret place, there's not much potential for reward. But if you spend more time in the secret place, over time you will see great manifestations of reward. Wow, I'm getting blessed on this. I'm preaching my whole message over again. Did you notice? Number five. Lastly, you get light and you get enlightenment. In His light, we see light. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place. See, when you go in the secret place, your lamp does get lit, but it's so that you'll go out and be rewarded openly. Do you follow me? It's wrong to just be set apart somewhere like a hermit and just keep lighting the lamp off in private. God wants us to be in the secret place so that we will be out publicly with greater impact. God has not called us to avoid the secret place and just be public people with very low oil and low fire. God wants us to be heavy over here so that He could be heavy over here. Does that make sense to you? Lift up your hands toward heaven. As you do, just receive God's grace for the secret place. Father, TV, video games, magazines, distractions are abundant. And God, help us. Help us to get free from the things that are snaring us out of the secret place. Help us not to be so busy. Help us not to be satisfied or pacified by just some sort of religious motions. God, we must have You. I'm asking for Your help as a pastor and as a Christian. I'm asking You to get a hold of us, get a hold of me, and help me because I need it. Get a hold of each one of us and bring us into a level of revelation and help and strength and hunger, yearning and thirsting for the secret place. People whose relationships with You have gone into coldness, help us to return to our first love. If you want that, lift up both hands toward heaven and wave them toward God. With all our hearts, Lord. Father, I thank You for Your help in our lives. In Jesus' name. What can we say, God? I preach myself into conviction here. We've got to have You. What do we do, Lord? What do we do to jumpstart this thing? We've got to press in with You. We want to be all that You called us to be, Father, for the kingdom. And we ask You to help us tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank You for pouring out Your Spirit on us. God, I thank You that there are rewards that You want to manifest as we will spend time in Your secret place. Thank You, Lord, for greater levels of protection, security, and strength. I bind the spirit of fear over these people in the name of Jesus. Let's all say this together. Heavenly Father, I want to return to my first love. I want Your conviction and Your dealing to be strong on me. And so I yield to You, not in condemnation, not out of some duty, but out of a desire. My passion is to know You, Jesus, is to walk with You as a person of God that's evident and obvious to the world. where I make a bigger difference in the lives of others. I'm asking you for help, God. I can't do it in my own power. But by your grace, by your strength, I could press on in with you. Give me a lonely spot, a hiding place, a closet life. Help me to yearn for it. Now lay your hands on your heart and say this, help me to yearn for it, Lord. Remove inclinations and fleshly tendencies and help me, Lord, to increase in my hunger for you. Peel the layers away, Lord. Get me back sensitive toward God. Back to my first love. Hungry, thirsty, desiring you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lift your hands up toward heaven now. Father, we thank you for the blessings that are out there. I thank you for the souls of people that you're appointing us to talk to in the next few days. Give us a fresh boldness and a fresh fire. I pray, Lord, you help us in our purpose to be faithful to you, God. We trust you to lead and guide us and help us by your Spirit. We thank you for your Spirit moving in our lives. We thank you for your anointing coming into our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for doing a work in our lives in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.